From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Friday, April 12th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, Gunath Cheesh, Hawa, Toyoksuk Newsom, Salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, it's a music jam featuring the Alaska Folk Festival featured dance band, the Daiquiri Queens, all the way from Louisiana. Plus, Northern California duo Meisner and Smith play the main stage tonight, and they have a new album that dropped today. And Shanti Elder and Will Putman are here. They've been making music together since 1983. We'll have live music from the red carpet stage right here in Studio 2K from all these wonderful artists. Plus, this week's episode of Garden Talk. All that coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
The Alaska Folk Festival is here. Listen all week on your public radio station, KRNN Juno. We'll be broadcasting the main stage concerts live on 102.7 and 103.1 FM, or tune in online. Once again, we'll be offering a live video feed on our website. So update your presets and bookmark the links because we don't want you to miss a minute of the main stage. Find everything you need to watch or listen at ktoo.org/folkfest.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about right there. The Daiquiri Queens live from the red carpet stage right here in KTOO. Minnie and Jamie Lynn, why don't you come have a seat over here at these microphones. The Daiquiri Queens are from Lafayette, Louisiana, and they are the featured dance band at this year's Alaska Folk Festival. They will be playing dance sets at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center on Friday night at 8:30. That's tonight. And tomorrow night at 9:20. Before tonight's Friday show, they will give a short primer on Cajun dance, and they will lead a full workshop of dance on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m., where people can learn the Cajun two-step, zydeco, and waltz. You can find out all about them at thedaiquiriqueens.com. Gunnath Cheesh, Hatye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having us.
I mean, that sounded amazing. That gets people in the mood to dance, right?
Absolutely. That's the idea.
I mean, that's so good. I mean, I think it's so fun. Like, I know it says, I saw somewhere the quote about y'all, gleaning inspiration from early Cajun and Creole dance music. So can we talk about just that, with that a little bit? Like, what's the difference between Cajun and Creole?
Oh boy, how much time
how
you
much
got?
Time?
Well, we're playing Cajun music. Cajun music is more music that comes from Acadie in Canada, that's originally from France, and it has fiddles in it. And there's a lot of differences, and that's a hot topic right there.
Yes, okay. It's something that I feel like is still changing, and people are constantly talking about this in Louisiana where we live. It's a big topic of conversation, how we use these words and why we came to use them and what they mean. So they're kind of two descriptors, but Cajun comes from the word Acadian, the people who came from Nova Scotia to Louisiana. But Cajun music, you know, it has a lot of influences.
Yeah.
Not just from them. Obviously, it's Southern music, it's American music. Sing in French, but there's blues influences, there's native influences.
The instruments themselves.
There's country,
like the accordion.
Mm-hmm. Swing influences. There's a lot of different stuff that make up the sound.
Oh,
I guess.
Wow. That's so great. So, like, that's just interesting to me because there's, like, the differences in, you know, where the music comes from and how that then influences it going forward. Is there something, you're talking about having this, like, it's a hot topic of conversation. So is there something that's going on that's, like, leading the music in a new direction, like, based on past influences, but now maybe groups like yourselves are kind of maybe taking it into, you know, some sort of fusion or making new things around it? How does that work?
Absolutely. I mean, some people stick within the genre and some people, you know, play all kinds of music. Sometimes they call it Louisiana variety music. Just because, you know, you can get labeled as something, but play a million different styles in your band. The Cajun versus Creole debate is often talking about how you describe people and, you know, how that, like, things over history have been mislabeled, kind of. But musically, you know, just saying both Cajun and Creole, because just acknowledging that there's more influences than just Cajun people, I guess.
I see. Okay. Well, let me ask Jamie Lynn this question.
Everyone was dancing back then, now, all the time.
Yeah. Right. So, Jamie Lynn, if somebody asks you, what is the Daiquiri Queens, what do you say?
I say the Daiquiri Queens is a Cajun band with a lot of women in it, which already is rare in Louisiana and in general. I don't know if you... I always, whenever I'm looking at bands, I always notice when there's women in it, and I like it more. It's interesting more for me to see it. And also, I feel like for Cajun music, I like that our band sings a lot, and we focus a lot on the vocals, and that's kind of common, but kind of not in Louisiana. It's kind of like the singing part gets kind of thrown to the wayside a little bit, and I love the French part of it, the words and the lyrics and the songs, and I feel like we try to really pick songs where we like the message or we like the lyrics and we like the singing part of it being at the forefront. And I feel like we are definitely a straight Cajun band. I would not say I'm any Louisiana variety, not because there's anything wrong with that, but just we are a Cajun band.
You're a Cajun band. Okay. And you guys, you all started in 2017-ish. Is that when?
Yes.
Was it the two of you kind of said, let's make a band?
Yeah. Another woman that was booking a festival that we love, the Black Pot Festival, holla, in Lafayette, Louisiana. She asked me, like, put a little band together for this thing. And I just kind of wanted to put together a band that had some people that wanted to sing songs in the keys I want to sing them in. So I picked some people that sing like me, like other women. And we just
went
from
there. Yeah, we lived right down the street from each other at the time. And I had just moved back to, we lived in Brobridge. And she asked a bunch of her friends, and we were supposed to just play one show at the festival.
We got t-shirts made. It was a big one-off show.
Yeah, we just had so much fun that we just kept playing, and then...
And look at you now, right?
And now we're on K2.
And you made an album in 2020, mm-hmm. Which, of course, you know, right near pandemic times or right around there. And are you still working on the next album as well, or is something coming down the line here? What's happening album-wise?
Yeah, we did start recording a bit, and then decided to do it more in pieces. Definitely like to get back in the studio and record some more music.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I like that part of it. But it is hard to put out an album.
I know. We've had some local artists who are making albums and getting them out there, and we were talking about that with Josh, who was your handler today, bringing you over. Josh Fortenberry, wonderful musician in his own right.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was talking about, like, not liking the whole marketing side of it.
Oh,
and,
no.
Like, you know, that's the – you just want to make the
Nobody
music.
Likes that part.
Nobody likes that part. And actually, Lori Lewis was talking about that yesterday, too, that she was having trouble with that when she first started out, like, figuring out how to do all of that stuff. Like, she knew how to do it, but, like, the shyness or the self-promotion mm-hmm. part of it is, and it's a big piece of it, right? So, and is this your first time coming to Alaska?
Yeah, it is.
I think for most of us, yes. Yeah. We've had, I think Kelly and Blake have been to Alaska before, Anchorage,
okay.
But for me, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to make sure. Well, let's shout out the rest of the band. Can you tell us who is playing what in the band?
Yeah, we have with us Kelly Jones on the fiddle and Blake Miller on accordion. And fiddle, and Adam Cormier is here on drums, and he's playing triangle in the studio.
Yeah, we can't fit drums in here, unfortunately, so Adam's back there on the triangle, which is awesome. And then you're playing the bass guitar.
Yeah.
And Jamie Lynn, you're playing...
Yeah, so Minnie McCracken's on the bass, and Jamie Lynn Hunt knows me on the guitar.
There you go. I like that. That's so good. And so you all are going to be... playing. So I want to remind people that tonight you're going to teach us a little bit of Cajun dance.
Yes. Hopefully we get some people to come out
you will.
Before our set and we'll show you, you know, just a little bit of Louisiana style two-step and waltz. You know, I'm sure there's lots of great dancers here, but maybe we do it just a little bit different and we can get your engine started so that you'll be good to go for the dance.
Can we call it like Louisiana style dance? Is that
absolutely, yeah.
That's where some of the influence
dance
comes from, right?
Dance is very popular there, partner dance, where we live. It's still like a very thriving thing. You can go out on the weekend and see like hundreds or thousands of people dancing, couple dancing, partner dancing. So, there's a bunch of styles specific to Louisiana,
That's going to be so cool. It's going to be so fun. And then tomorrow you're teaching a longer workshop. Will that include some of the stuff we're going to learn tonight, or is that a different sort of thing tomorrow in the afternoon?
We'll get into more advanced steps maybe, do some Zydeco. We might do a line dance if people are up for it.
Okay.
And
so
what?
Fun.
Yeah, we'll see what everyone's at, and we can
base it off of that. Who comes, you know?
Right, right, right.
I'm not gonna start optimistically with Zydeco.
we'll
start with the two step and
start slow.
There's
the
a lot of people.
They'll
from
catch
up
on.
Here that come down to Lafayette. A lot of people from Alaska.
That's another thing.
So
we have a lot of friends up here that
dance.
Come to Louisiana, and we have like a. a connection with Alaska. This is my first time up here, but we've always heard, like, Alaska, the people love to cook and have a good time.
We
and
do.
They love to play music, and that there's a similar vibe in Louisiana to Alaska. So it's been really cool to see that, and we've only been here for 24 hours, but...
Well, you got that. You got the whole weekend. That's so good. That's going to be great. Well, would you mind playing us one more song? And
sure,
while you get back up to to our red carpet stage, I will give some more of the details again and remind everybody. And, of course, everything about the Folk Festival and the workshops is free. You show up. Of course, if you want to become a member at akfolkfest.org, you can. But everything is free for everyone in town, which is just amazing to me that this is offered. And
that
the Folk Festival has been going almost 50 years. So again, the Daiquiri Queens will be playing two dance sets tonight at the Juno Arts and Culture Center at 8:30 p.m. and tomorrow night at 9:20. And before tonight's show, they'll give a little short primer on Cajun dance. And then tomorrow, they'll lead a full dance workshop on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. where you can learn the Cajun two-step, the waltz, and maybe the Zydeco if Jamie Lynn lets you. That sounds really good. And once again, here is the Daiquiri Queens.
This is a song off of our album. It's a really pretty waltz that the lyrics sort of came from a poem. They remind me of like a lullaby, and it goes, the more you turn, the more I love you, the more you dance, the more I love you, the more you sing, the more I love you.
Torn.
That is the Daiquiri Queens, everybody. Thank you so much for being here, Gwyneth Cheese. You can find out more about them at thedaiquiriqueens.com. Go check them out tonight and tomorrow night at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. Thanks so much for coming in today. Really appreciate it. Up next, the Northern California-based duo Meisner and Smith will be playing the Folk Festival main stage tonight at 8:30, and their new album, All Is Song, dropped today. We'll hear from them live on the red carpet stage next. But first, for this week's Garden Talk, KTOO's Chloe Plusnak spoke with Khalil English about his research on silverweed, a seemingly inconspicuous plant with deep roots in Pacific Northwest history. English spoke about silverweed's importance as a food source across the North and about where it grows in Juneau.
So silverweed first came into my life, I believe, through a book that I got from Professor Daniel Monteith. Gave me a book called Ha'at'chayi Ha'kastiyiksiti. It means our food ways is our Tlingit way of life. And there are some plant foods in there that I had never heard of before. And one of them was tsait, or silverweed. And that kind of just grew into something huge. I looked into some of the Tlingit uses and how it's harvested here, and then found, oh my gosh, it's a beloved plant all throughout the Pacific Northwest. And even it's has circumboreal, it's all around the North. And even in Europe, in Scotland and Norway, et cetera, people have loved silverweed. So it ended up becoming a little bit of a self-history search as well.
That's awesome. So can you tell me a little bit more about what some of those traditional uses are and how this plant fits into the history of all the indigenous cultures along the Pacific Northwest coast and even the circumpolar north, as you were saying?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a very big question. So I'll, I guess, answer the little bits that I can. A lot of the information that I have been able to learn comes from the Kwakwaka'wakw, which are just the northern tip of Vancouver Island and a little bit on the mainland. And that's sort of where the temperate rainforest is just like nonstop summer and winter rain. And so we have these huge estuarine river systems, and people would bioengineer the salt marsh. So according to sources from the Kwakwaka'wakw, there were not a single patch of salt marsh that wasn't owned and tended by someone. So it was a very intensively managed crop. There was a lot of food that people got from it. It was a very important ceremonially. There was actually a taboo, at least in this area, for not eating the silverweed until I think it was at least like around December, which has a little bit to deal with getting the roots to taste sweeter. And then as far as Scotland, there's sadly not as much information, but there is still a lot of love in some of the few stories I could find. There's a little Gaelic phrase that I learned that I'll share that kind of highlights some of the feelings around it. And it's Briskin Bianachta Anjerich Shechkov Aranayel. It means blessed silverweed of spring, seventh bread of the Gaels. And so along with like millet and rye and wheat, silverweed was very important. And so people, when they were given their allotments for fishing and et cetera, silverweed patches were a part of that, at least in Scotland. And then when the potato famine happened, people actually returned to eating silverweed.
Wow, that is some fascinating history. And some, you know, I've never heard of silverweed until I stumbled upon your research. So this is really cool. Do you know why it kind of has become a little disenfranchised? I'm just curious, like why it's not known as well as these other food sources?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it depends on where we're looking. So silverweed in the British Isles, from what I've garnered, it's the fact that it was mostly a food that poor people ate. That's why it wasn't recorded so much. When we're looking at the Pacific Northwest, then we're dealing with a little more of that kind of that direct intention to remove people from their food and remove people from the land. So, of course, where silverweed grows is the easiest land to develop. It's the easiest land to put cows on. And so people were removed from their silverweed fields. And there's quite a few disheartening stories of people kind of giving up on those fields and walking away.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. So, with that in mind, where can people in Juneau typically find silverweed and respectfully harvest it as well?
Yeah, so silverweed is abundant. There's actually quite a few subspecies of silverweed. So Pacific silverweed is sort of what I've mostly been focusing on. They have the biggest roots, and they're going to be mostly along the ocean side. But even for folks in interior Alaska or, I don't know, in Utah, there is still silverweed. It prefers more salty grounds. So for us, that's right on the ocean side, could be at the edge of some lake, down further south. Places, more direct places in Juneau might be Fish Creek. The Mendenhall Wetlands would be the most ideal spot. But of course, I don't know how safe it is to eat anything out of there, given the airport and the waste management system. But pretty much anywhere where you're gonna, like Sandy Beach, all the edges are covered in silverweed. Any beach, right under that beach rye, that really like grayish blue grass that's very thick, silverweed is right there.
And what time of year is the best time to keep an eye out for this? You were saying that culturally there's a little bit of connection to different times of the year for harvesting that, perhaps.
Yeah. So for our area, what I've read is mostly people would harvest in the spring. And then what I've read for down in Vancouver, people mostly harvest it in the fall. But I think it's a little interchangeable. What they're going for is once the plant starts growing actively, once you can see anything above ground, the roots are very, very astringent. They become really bitter. There's a lot of tannins. And so when you harvest either at the very beginning of spring, those tannins have waned out. Or in the fall, those tannins reduce a lot. And then when you dry them and store them cold, the tannin content is further reduced. So wintertime, you got to kind of familiarize yourself with habitat, and then you can go and look for their dried leaves. They persist pretty well and are easy to recognize. And then you dig in. One last thing I'll share, and this was a little more of my focus, is something I've loved about silverweed is it really highlights the relationship that people can and have for many thousands of years had with the earth. I think too often when we're talking about environmental topics, it becomes really depressing and we kind of demonize ourselves. But to me, this really highlights like, oh, we have a place. We also are tending the earth as well. And by tending these wild systems, they can become more productive. We can take advantage of it, and so can the rest of the wildlife. But in today's world, of course, it's a little harder to go out and say, start bioengineering our salt marsh here so people can bring them into their gardens. They're very adaptable.
That was Khalil English speaking with KTOO's Chloe Plesnack. You can find a link to his research on our website, ktoo.org. And you can subscribe to Garden Talk in your podcast app of choice or find more episodes at ktoo.org.
Drives the flower, moves the marrow in my bones, like a star is born dying, like the water cars the stone. I have tread a path steady, I've been laid out on the road, I have felt love's lightness as I've trembled neath. Wisdom as it whispers from the weeds, I will find out later. It was always in my lungs, but for now I'm breathless like the
So good. I come over here and have a seat. That is Meisner and Smith. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, blending Americana, bluegrass, traditional folk ballads, and more pop-leaning ideas. Meisner and Smith make music gloriously non-conforming. I love that. Their latest album, All Is Song, drops today, and they just happen to be in Juneau to be a part of the Alaska Folk Festival tonight at 8:30 p.m. on the main stage. They'll also be again at the Alaskan.
The Crystal Saloon.
Crystal Saloon tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they'll be there on Saturday night. It is Friday. It's been a crazy week.
It is Friday.
Folk Face. It's hard to know which day is which anymore. Yeah. But anyway, Sam Meisner and Megan Smith. Gunath Chishat Ye Adi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in Juneau and in our studio today. Wasa Iati, how's it going?
It's going great. We couldn't ask for a better first time in Alaska as what we've experienced the last couple of days. And what I'm sure we'll experience the next couple of days, whatever day it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing, too, to have a new album dropping on the same day as your Folk Fest performance.
Mm-hmm. That's worked out really well.
It's pretty great. Like, yeah. Have you been to Alaska or the Folk Festival before?
No.
This is our first time in Alaska. This is our first time doing the festival.
It's great.
Been so much fun. We've only been here 2 days, and we already want to come back.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to throw a festival to honor our record release.
How nice of Andrew to do that, yeah. Right?
Do such a good job there, too. We peeked in last night to see some of the acts that were performing last evening, and boy, they just are so good at it. It's amazing. All the music is amazing, and then everybody who's working the festival is doing such a great job.
Yeah. It's all volunteer. It's amazing, and it's somehow it all comes together, and it's a really great celebration of music in Juneau.
Yeah.
And it happens right before we hit our summer tourism season, so it really is sort of our last gasp before the summer and the town goes nuts with 20 extra thousand people in it.
Everybody's working really hard. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So it's really been great. Now, I wanted to ask you about your new album. I don't know how to say the gentleman's name, but you have a quote, you have an article from him on your website, Will Shube, I think it is, or Shube. And it says, all his song is a reminder that even our darkest moments can be rescued through transcendental metaphysical experiences of creative ecstasy. If that's not a great quote for an album, I see why you have it on your website.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about All His Song? And because I know there's a really great story around sort of the creation of this particular album.
Yes, this album was meant to be recorded in beginning spring of 2020. So. As we all experienced in that time, everything stopped.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He still doesn't know what day it is.
Yeah.
Did something different happen in Juneau? I don't know.
No, it happened.
My goodness, we're all tied together with that experience. I think we all have a common ground there, which is not what we wanted to have a common ground with, unfortunately. But during that time, we found it was really important for us to reach out and do some live streaming shows. Because we sort of didn't know what else to do. And we felt like we really wanted to gather people together around music and try to provide some space and time for folks to find some comfort in that period of time. So those songs that we were meant to go into the studio and record, we ended up playing for, almost 2 years. Every Saturday night we did a two and a half, 3 hour show for a community of people online that kind of kept coming back.
Mm.
And we got a lot of wonderful feedback from everybody. And those songs got really into our bodies and got sort of distilled and workshopped. So
they also kind of took on meaning that most of the songs were written before the pandemic, but in a lot of ways, the songs in that incubation, they kind of deepened in what they were kind of meant to us, and almost like, wow, I don't think we intended it to have this deep of a meaning, or we did, but in a different way, and so they kind of soaked in what we were all going through. And so going into the studio when we finally got there in 2022 and then spent literally a year to the day working in the studio, it felt like we took that and brought it with us, and those the connection, the community that we felt, we'd never felt so keenly the how much music can be such a medicine, a unifier. I mean, we'd known that, but to feel it while we were all so distant was pretty profound.
It's also nice to be reminded.
Yeah.
Right? Like to be thinking about that. And I know you had like a unique question that you were asking of each song, right, that you were talking about. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. We these songs on this album are very diverse. You know, we have always had a hard time choosing a genre or even genres. And we decided, what the heck, let's lean into that. And so each song we approached in different ways. And it was always asking the question, how do we best serve the song? Not how do we do those cool things that we've always wanted to do in the studio, but more, what is the song asking of us? You know, how do we highlight these lyrics, the story of the song? Let's not layer things on there just to have them on there. They need every note, every chord, every sound really needs to reinforce what the song is.
Mm.
So it was almost like we'd written the songs, but we let the songs guide us in the studio.
Right. Sort of a back and forth speaking with the song kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh,
what was the one we heard here?
That's Silence of the Sun. Okay. That's what that one is.
And is that off the new album?
That is off the new album.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's really
beautiful.
Which
you can hear right now. I can't believe
I'm amazing,
saying
right?
that. It's so,
anywhere
it's been
online,
so long.
You can find it.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is that you two met at a Shakespeare festival. Mm-hmm. You were professional actors, and you have been – that was in 2002.
That's right.
And so we're talking, do math, 22 years ago.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so you've been making work as a musical duo for a long time. And you discovered a mutual love of roots music, and that's sort of where you got into sort of the kind of music you're doing today.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
So that how has the collaboration changed over 22 years?
That's such a great question. I think for me, I'll just say for me, it's been a real journey because my background is all in classical music. I played in orchestra when I was young and went to college for music, and I did vocal studies, and I played the bass there too at University of Oregon in Eugene, Oregon. I had some amazing instructors there, and the music school was intense. And so when I came out of school, I'd studied theater as well, and I decided I really wanted to pursue theater as an actor, and so I did that instead. And I kind of quit music for about three years or so. Mm. And when I sort of met Sam and we started playing together, his background is in mentorship and playing with other people and learning music through, you know, passing things down, through, you know, like music elders kind of, you know. And so it was a really different approach, and there was no written music. You know, it was like, oh, I just have to use my ear and trust my ear, really? So that was my journey, was kind of like shifting my focus and using my background, but also being able to be open to how this new partnership was forming.
Hmm.
And Sam's songs, like, they're all so different as we've talked about, but I've been playing some of these songs for 20 years, and I never get bored of them. I really don't. And that's saying
or Sam.
Something.
Yeah, well, she didn't say that. She mentioned the song. So let's. I'm just going to point that out there.
Well, there's a reason I'm still here.
Yeah.
But
that's,
you know,
so fun. Yeah.
It just was always growing, always changing. There was always something new to discover, and I think that's what just kept me coming back.
Yeah. For me, it was just to say one thing about what a joy. 20 years. We celebrated 20 years as a band last month. And to be able to sing with someone whose ear for harmony and voice is as majestic as Megan's is, you know, it's affected how I write songs. It's how I think about writing. You know, I don't think of, I think of the lyrics, obviously, in the music, but always in my ear, I'm thinking, I can't wait to hear what Megan does with the harmonies because she's just magnificent with that. So to be able to be writing songs thinking not just about the chords and the lyrics, but thinking this is three-dimensional. Once those harmonies come in, they add a whole deeper element to what the song, how we tell the story of the song.
That's fantastic. Well, can we go out with one more?
Sure.
Yeah,
that would be great.
Thank
I'm going
to
remind everybody, it's MeisnerandSmith.com, M-I-S-N-E-R and Smith.com. Their album All Is Song dropped today. You can find that on all of the streaming services. And also the festival schedule is at akfolkfest.org. They'll be on the main stage tonight at 8:30, which, of course, you can watch live in Centennial Hall, or you can tune into KRNN 102.7 or 103.1. Or stream it live and watch the video at kto.org. It's Meisner and Smith. Oh, and also tomorrow they'll be at the Crystal. So they'll be around and they're happy to be in Juneau. And here we go with one more song from Meisner and Smith.
It was an anthem of her own, and she sang it all alone at the hour and the occasion of her choosing. Funny thing, she said, that she never got to bed, but she doesn't think of all the sleep she's losing. Seems that late at night, when the crescent moon was bright, like a wry, wicked smile on the horizon,
devil's in her dreams. She wakes up with a scream. I've seen the tricks and stitches God relies on. Wasn't just a boast, less a brag and more a toast to the friends who she had known through tribulations. A phantom in her bones, she always had been prone to the power and the pull of its persuasion. And they had lost, even won, and still been tossed to the wood. But then they rose each time together. One thing that's for sure, though we never found a cure, we can ride out heartbreak like the weather. Face down on the floor when a knock came at the door. The outside world was there and it was calling. Cordelia sang her tune on that fateful afternoon when the melody outplayed her fear of falling. Yes, she sang the anthem of her soul. There's so little we control, save the melody we sing while we are steering. Funny thing she said, that it may be in her head, but the love we lose is always reappearing. Oh, oh, oh.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Meisner and Smith. Thank you so much for coming in. Up next, the Alaska State Fair Fiddle Contest winner, Shanti Elder and friends, live in Studio 2K. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta kanakaya ha anikak, gunish cheese.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clenny-D have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
This month, four lucky people will get the chance to win a pair of tickets to see Michael Franti and Spearhead performing this August 6th in Juneau. KTOO sustaining members will be automatically entered into the drawing, but everyone else is welcome to participate. Just go to ktoo.org and click on the giveaway link for contest rules and the entry form.
Yeah.
You know what you want, and I know what you need. To spread your wings and fly away from this place, be free. From this place, be free. Oh, peace was just a dream I had. Here's a feather I have found, lying there so helplessly on cold and barren ground. On cold and barren ground. The stalls are empty, the fields are fallow, there's no fruit upon.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTO. That's a little Buddy Tabor with Peace Was Just a Dream I Had from his album Blinding Flash of Light, which dropped yesterday on all streaming services. It's an album from 1998. The Buddy Tabor Project is working to get all of Buddy's albums online, local Juno and Folk Fest music icon. But we appreciate Buddy so much. Go find that music online. But now in the studio, Shanti and Will are here, and they are on our red carpet stage ready to enthrall us with a song or two. Here we go.
Oh, thanks so much. This is one I wrote for a roommate of mine many years ago, and I haven't heard too many other songs like it. It's called Missing a Man. Missing a Man is what she does best. One, two, three. There's probably more fun in the next place in town. Probably a better time to be around. Maybe a man to deal the next round. She's restless and can't find her way. She says that she's tired of being alone. Stays in the city, afraid to roam. Well, the countryside's calling, but she's too tired to go. She needs a direction this day. And she knows that she's lonely and can't seem to rest. She wonders if romance is some kind of test. But all of her friends realize that, I guess, missing a man is what she does best. She says all she wants is a husband to stay, to hold her and love her and be there each day. But she judges so harshly the ones on the way, and the ones that she wants don't want her. She dresses so fancy and goes on her dates. Another fine menu, another heartache. And what do they want? Well, she's given her all, and it's hard to get up in the morning. And she knows that she's lonely and can't seem to rest. She wonders if romance is some kind of test. But all of her friends realize that, I guess, missing a man is what she does best. She's lonely and can't seem to rest. She wonders if romance is some kind of test, but all of her friends realize that, I guess, missing a man is what she does best.
That was beautiful. You guys stay up there on the stage because we're going to run out of time and I want to get to Will's song. But I just want to tell a little something about Shanti and Will have been performing. You might have seen them on the main stage last night. They've been performing together since 1983. Shanti is the winner of the Alaska State Fair contest and has been producing an acoustic radio program on KSKA up in Anchorage since 1978. It's currently called Traveling Music and is available at her website. ShantiElder.com. That's ShantiElder.com. And Will's music is also available at Trill Music, TRILLmusic.net. Her show, Traveling Music, airs on Saturday nights at 8 p.m. as well on AlaskaPublicMedia.org. And it is just amazing that they have been making music together since 1983. They've even recorded a couple of albums of originals together as well as solo albums and all that kind of stuff, and it's just wonderful. Are you, one question, do you have any other gigs this week and at the festival?
Yeah, Will does.
Will.
Yeah, I've got a main stage set on Sunday evening.
Will Putnam.
Putman.
Putman.
Yep.
Okay, so that's what happens. Everybody says Putnam,
yep.
And it's really Putman.
Right.
Okay, great. That's what we need to clear up, right? That's the thing.
It's all clear.
And I'll be playing with Lou Nathanson right after Will or before. Same early Sunday evening.
So we'll see you Sunday night. We'll see you guys on the main stage Sunday night. Okay, well, let's go out with Will's song. And what's this song called, Will?
Friends.
Friends. Excellent. Here we go. It's Shanti and Will.
Diamonds in the deserts and gold in far-flung streams and fame in deeds as yet undone. But all the gems are worthless and they're just not what they seem if you live your life and not know anyone. Well, I've known men with sorrow and I've known men with pride and I've known men who fear the days to come. There's no need to fear tomorrow if you can't say you haven't tried and had the chance to share it with someone. Cause there are tests to be taken and mountains to be crossed and a long, long way to the end. And of all the things I've found and of all I've ever lost, the only things that really matter are my friends. Hardships to be taken, there are lovers to be lost, till sometimes it'll hardly seem the pain. But a friendship stays right with you no matter what the cost, and it's the only thing that ever seems to stay. Well, the road is long and rocky, it twists away from you, it leads away to only God knows where. There's no need to falter, cause remember, I'm with you, and now we've got each other to see us there. Cause there are tests to be taken, and mountains to be crossed, and a long, long way to the end. And of all the things I've found, and of all I've ever lost, the only things that really matter are my friends. Of all the things I've found and of all I've ever lost, the only things